Welcome to another NY Jets Fans podcast with host Davin Sharman and Chris as we get into another week of football. I'm not even going to ask y'all. I'm just going to leave it plain and simple. I'm not going to say what happened. What did y'all see that made the Eagles get into a 31-6 victory over the Jets?
Okay, Sharman. I'll work over you.
I mean, listen, guys. The Eagles are, like we said before when we previewed the Eagles Jets game, the Eagles are a very talented team. There's things that they went into game plan for certain guys on their on the Eagles defensive line, and the guys are just way too good, man. The ways they were beating some of the protections the Jets were trying to do, it was ridiculous. I mean, Cox is a monster. I mean, they have so much talent. Their quarterback didn't play the best game, but part of the reason why he didn't play so well is because the Jets played really well on defense. But the reason why the score's 30 points is because we made too many mistakes, and we're not at the point of our capabilities as a Jets football team to recover from any kind of mistake. So, I gotta keep, sounding like I'm defending Adam Gase, which again, I have stated that I think that we should give him a chance to be the Jets quarterback. In my heart of hearts, I was never a big fan of the hire. I thought it was kind of weird that a guy that nobody was never sure about as a head coach, that we gave him a shot. I was more leaning on the fact that he could help Sam Darnold become an elite quarterback. But at this point in time, people need to stop with the, people are trying to excuse Adam Gase. No, nobody's trying to excuse Adam Gase. We're trying to point out facts. You know, there's things about Adam Gase you could criticize. There's a lot of things. There's time usage. There's basic coaching strategy. You could say that's a problem. You could say that him throwing screens in advantageous positions where you're throwing a smoke route to a wide receiver and you only have two other wide receivers in the trips bunch. The third wide receiver is going to catch the screen. Two guys are going to go out to block. But instead of there being three guys and the wide receiver only have to beat another guy, there's four guys. So he has to try to beat two. That makes no sense. If you're criticizing Gase on these things, fine. Some of his roster moves and stuff, fine. But if you're saying over and over again about Gase is not being creative enough, I'm sorry. It's either you just do not understand enough of football, or you're just being disingenuous. Because Gase has tried multiple things and even some basic route combinations where we get wide receivers or tight ends running open. If you know that your line is bad and you need to get the ball out of your hand, you're not passing the ball one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, and you still have the ball in your hand. I don't want to kill Luke Falk because I know it's really not his fault. Falk is not an NFL quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
Not even close.
But he was forced into a bad situation. So all this cannot just be Gase's fault. It's a horrible situation. There's multiple things. People came out and said that our backup running back was never lined up as a wide receiver. That's a lie. We could prove that on film. Motion Le'Veon Bell around to kind of tell what the defense is. That's been done. What else? Last week, heavy personnel, Gase had played more heavy personnel and more max protection than he'd ever called in his whole career last week, trying to minimize the issues that he was having in protection. And those are the things that people are pointing out as a problem for Gase, but that's not true. The film says otherwise. So what is your issue? If Gase continues failing, then fine. But if you're killing him right now for being an 0-4, partly, yes, but you can't put the whole blame on him. It makes absolutely no sense. I don't get it. You know, there's too many issues on this team for us to just point out the one guy and say it's his fault. You need to fire him. For what? For what? What is the reason why you would only hire a guy and give him 4 games and say, oh, he's not a good coach, I need to fire him now? This is asinine. At some point, as fans, we need to own our bullshit. Excuse my language. You know, this is what we have. You know, we have a multitude of injuries, and they keep just piling up one on top of the other, and he's trying to do the best he can. And fine, you could even say that the fact that the numbers are historically bad is a problem. You could say that too. Fine. But don't say he's not being creative. It's a lie. You're being disingenuous. It's not true.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just the fact of the matter is that, you know, they basically Greg Williams. What can Greg Williams? Greg Williams can't do so much without C.J. Mosley and Jenkins, and still doing a hell of a job. You know, and there's so much that he can do, and I can understand if Sam Darnold was playing, and we had all these guys, but we don't even have all these guys. We don't even know what the team's true potential talent is as of right now. So, of course, you got to go with the third-string quarterback. And as soon as you go with Luke Falk, basically, he doesn't have eyes. He doesn't have eyes at all. So it's like
– guys, he's blind. Football-wise. He's blind.
So it's like, oh – and then what kills me is that Jets fans is always asking, oh, who else is a backup quarterback? Can we find somebody out there? Come on. Especially Webb, are you kidding me? Like, none of these guys can probably make a better result, a better result than what Luke Falk has done. Because I predicted last week, if you heard the podcast, 31-6. And what happened? The score was 31-6. That is terrible. That is very terrible. And I can't even blame the defense, because I'm shouting out Greg Williams, because our defense looks a hell of a lot better without, you know, a hell of a lot better than probably the past maybe few years. and with Sam Darnold coming back, then now let's see what really happens, because if we start seeing different results, then basically y'all Jets fans need to stop it. Have to
two things I want to say off of what you just said. Yes, the defense is playing well, but one person on that defense that's not playing well at all and is a hot packet of doo-doo is Trumaine Johnson. Trumaine Johnson, unfortunately, I think Nate Hairston, who started and is injured, unfortunately, and it's still kind of borderline if he's going to play this week. Johnson is still horrible. His technique is horrible. He's always lost in what he's trying to do. I don't even know. He's always like about 2 yards behind the wide receiver after he caught the ball. I don't get it. But the other thing I wanted to say was that also everybody pointing out all these situations that where there's backup quarterbacks and they're doing well. People, how in the hell are you actually comparing the Carolina Panthers situation to the Jets situation? Answer me how this is possible. Because in my way, looking at the world from where I stand, that's a backup quarterback. That means he went through the whole of training camp as the backup quarterback. He had snaps both with the first team and the second team, right? He's a backup quarterback. Luke Falk wasn't a backup quarterback. He never had these kind of snaps. Our backup quarterback is at home with a fractured ankle. If our backup quarterback was in and he was suffering so badly, that would be a reason why to say, oh, Gase, you didn't prepare properly. You didn't teach properly. Fine. But when you're projecting a kid that wasn't even supposed to be on an NFL field with starting pro players, and you're trying to match him with a backup quarterback that went through the whole of training camp. You're being disingenuous.
Listen, you know where
ridiculous.
You know where they made that mistake. I thought was the game after that first game, and he was evaluated, and they found out Darnold had mono. Once that guy had mono, I don't want to bring in a guy that just knows the system. They should have brought in a veteran, okay, to back up Simeon. Because I get it. You know what? They were going into week two thinking, all right, we got Simeon. We're not going to lose another quarterback, you know, the second week in his year two. I'm sure that, you know, they were thinking, all right, this can't happen 2 weeks in a row. But they should have thought, hey, you know what? Yeah, let's bring in a veteran. Let's not count on, you know, Luke Falk coming off the bench who has never thrown a pass and thinking, oh, yeah, he'll be fine. So I thought that was probably their biggest mistake they've made.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. If you're gonna come at them, that's a legitimate point.
Right. That's about it. I mean, the only other thing that I see, I know I'm nitpicking, and this is probably more towards Falk than for Gase, but and I know Bell is the center of the offense. The offense runs through him basically, and all that. But when he's on the field, he's more or less getting the ball in some way. He's either getting the run or he's getting a screen. They showed it. He's touched the ball, whatever it was. It was like 80% of the time.
Yes, so more snaps in the NFL than anybody else. Like, yeah, I think so the defense NFL snaps, yes.
So the defenses know that. When they see him on the field, they're like, okay, he's getting the ball. Either it's a run or it's going to be on a screen. Now, that might be Falk, you know, dropping it down to him because he doesn't want to throw it anywhere else. All right, you know, we could say that, but so that's where I think that's going to change this week. I think this week's going to be a totally different team with Darnold behind center, and the playbook should be wide open. There should be no complaints this week. If they lose, it's going to be a good game. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, Jordan Jenkins, I know he's been limited in practice on Wednesday, so that's good news.
Yeah, that's very good news.
Mosley is doubtful, so these guys are basically close to coming back. And the only good thing about Herndon is that, he had a minor injury, but he's coming back in 2 weeks. So I think it's going to be all right. I remember last season the Colts was 1-5 and ended up making some type of freaking run to go to the goddamn second round of the playoffs. I mean, it's a different scenario in this case, but I feel like it's going to be I feel like this game against the Cowboys will be tough, but I think it's going to be very good. And Sam Darnold, he's pumped up, and he's definitely going to be ready, and it seems like the players are very happy that he's back.
It's definitely a shot in the arm that we need. And because I know we also Henry Anderson's doubtful.
Yes.
Assembly is doubtful.
Yeah, I don't think so. Similar. Yeah, I don't think. I think though. Yeah, I don't think those guys are gonna come start. Yeah.
Doubtful usually means that they're done. So.
Especially today's Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think Sam Darnold's gonna make a huge difference on offense. This playbook should be wide open. You know, he's been doing is studying the last 3 weeks, so he definitely knows the playbook now. So.
He always did. I don't think there's an issue. I think again, as playing quarterback in the NFL is certain things that basic knowledge as a quarterback you should have. One of the basic things you should know is that even if your offensive line is very good, you should know that you have kind of a time limit on when the ball's supposed to leave your hand. You know, there's a reason why they call, you know, even if you feel in the rush. And, you know, off of the small sample size we've had of Donald is pretty good at feeling when the rush is coming his way. So I'm not worried about that. I know there's going to be rust. I think as Jets fans, we have to understand that he hasn't played a pro game in a few, and he was sick. Like, he had a disease. So he's not going to be, going to come in and just, like, kill everybody. It's going to take a little while. But one of the things you won't see is the whole Pat pat, one's Mississippi, two Mississippi thing, where the ball's not coming out. Donald won't do that. You know, I'm praying that he's not trying to do everything on his own, and then he just kind of just comes and just be part of the team and try to be part of the reason why they move forward well in a good way. You know, because when you're away from your team for that long, you know, you especially as a quarterback, I would say you're coming back and you're like, man, I wanna carry my team, but you have to remember football is a team sport. You know.
Yeah, I see the same results as week one when he looked all sluggish.
And you know what? I think we're also going to see an improvement in the offensive line as well. Because
the ball is coming out.
Yeah, the one thing I've noticed with Falk, even when he does get the time, he's, you know, he's sitting there waiting. You know, you got to throw the ball. You know, the best quarterbacks release the ball within what, a second or two, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like two on a change, 2 seconds on a change. Yeah.
Right. And that's what he has to do, and he's not that way. He's just, you could see, he's just not an NFL quarterback.
Confused, yeah.
At least not yet. You know, maybe he'll develop into one. You know, I'm not saying he won't, but right now he's not an NFL quarterback. He's not even close to it, and it shows. So, I think our offensive line is not great, but I don't think it's as bad as it seems the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think our new starter at left guard. Has played played really well last week. The guy we got from the Ravens,
Alex Lewis.
Yeah, he had a pretty good game. PFF rated him pretty well. But you didn't have to watch PFF. If you checked out the film, you could see that he looked a little bit more solid than the last couple weeks. The Khalil actually played a little better too. He did.
Yeah, he's been getting better. I was looking at his ratings the last 3 weeks. They've gone up every week. So, you know,
I think it's gonna get a lot better when Darnold comes back Alex Lewis probably might be just to, you know, to pick up that, you know, the need that's needed, and that's a Joe Douglas pickup, you know.
Yeah. We need to, as Jets fans, we need to come to terms with a few things, man. Our tackles are not good. Our tackles are subpar. They're gonna be an issue. It's gonna be hard for this team to get tackles. To fix this tackle issue, I mean, you know, everybody's like projecting for us to be picking high and getting that kid. Andrews, I think his name is, the tackle. Everybody wants to say, oh, we're gonna be around, and you know what? I'm not gonna give up on my team yet. You know, I think they could make a little run.
Yeah, they got a run in them. You know, they absolutely do.
I think what the problem is that fans has had too much higher expectations than what we expected. We didn't expect them to go to the playoffs. We didn't expect them to. We expected 7-9, 8-8. You know, boundary. Mm-hmm. These fans like 9-7, 10-6. Like, are you out your mind? Like, I have way like, high you see expectations. The schedule?
Yeah,
especially the first half of the season.
Yeah, I guarantee. Like this is the thing. It's like for me, the football fans I respect are the ones that actually know football. Because if you're a football fan, basically in the name of what you are means you're a fanatic about football. So simple things about football you should understand. There's things that you just should understand as a fan, and especially some of them that shout, "Oh, I've been a fan since 1920. Mm-hmm. Well, if you've been a football fan for that long, why can't you understand simple things
about
football?
Watching it. They're not watching. They might be a fan, but they're not watching it.
You know, I hate criticizing people, but the things I've heard and seen for the last couple of weeks it weighs so heavy on me because we all in this together. We all suffer in the fact that the Jets are not doing well. And like I always say, I walk into my building and everybody's like, hey, Jets fan, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
I see. You
everybody's
know,
everybody's apologizing to me like a family member died or something.
I see people. I even see people saying we should fire Gase and, you know, and forget about the season and draft Tua next year in the draft.
Oh,
I'm like,
my!
I'm like, are you nuts? I'm like, we got Darnold. You know, they're like, well, he still has to show us. I said, right, he does, but he showed us enough that, yeah, this guy's got hopefully what it takes to be. You know, I'm not going to give up on the guy after, what, 13 games he's played now, 12 games, whatever it is. I mean, come
on,
give the guy a break.
Did you see the one where Le'Veon Bell is apparently hasn't showed us anything and they shouldn't have gotten him?
Man, that's terrible.
Yeah, those are just fans that have no clue. Terrible. They just have no clue what they're talking about. It's pretty sad, but
yeah.
Like, come on, guys. Don't you watch football? Don't you know what's
apparently
going on
not.
Here?
Nah,
yeah. Yeah.
So
what's common sense here?
All right, so with the Jets playing the Cowboys, what do y'all think the key points would be to try to make it a tough game for the Cowboys?
Listen, man, the Cowboys' offensive line is a little nicked up. I think both tackles have been missing practice the whole week. So that's where if we're going to take this game, that's where our focus should be, I think, in my mind. That's the way our focus is. I think the defense could be had. I think this defense could be had. I think they've shown that they're good, but they've shown that they have glaring weaknesses. One of the weaknesses I've always pointed out to was is the safeties. I don't think they have the best safeties. I think even their corners, I think probably one corner is pretty good that I like. I don't know. I don't think the Owusie kid is the best. I'm not really in love with Byron Jones as much. I think that defense could be had. The thing about their strength is their pass rush and their linebackers. You know, Leighton Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith and Sean Lee. I mean, come on, man. Those are practically household names. You know, and Tank Lawrence is one of the best pass rushers in the league. You know that. And they traded for Robert Quinn from the Dolphins. I don't know if you guys remember for a 6th-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robert Quinn is one of the most technical. I know for a while. But he's one of the most technical pass rushers in the league, and you got him for a 6th-round pick. It's almost like you went to a freaking yard sale and you bought a painting for like a couple dollars, and you end up going home, and it was like a
but you know what?
A we lost Van Gogh.
We really don't know how good this Cowboy defense is, right?
Yeah. Well,
they beat the Giants week one. That was with Eli. They beat Washington, you know, 31-21. Then they beat Miami. 31-6, but then
they
lost
difficult times.
Right. Then they lost to New Orleans at New Orleans, and then they lost to Green Bay at home, 34-24. They looked horrible last week. They were getting blown out for, what, 3/4 of that game.
Yes.
So we really, you know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, they do have a pretty good defense, but we don't know how good right now because they haven't – the games that they played good teams, they have not shown up. Offensively or defensively, they showed up against New Orleans – New Orleans, but New Orleans had Bridgewater. They didn't even have Breeze. So
no, but you know Cooper. He's showing his ass. Marvin Cooper is showing his ass, and you know that's going to be one of the key points for this defense to try to get to Dak as much as possible.
I think we can
force him definitely to go through Dak instead of through Zeke. Run is big.
Yeah, but Zeke hasn't been doing well either. You know,
no,
the issue we can't have him blowing up on us because then you know that offense is unstoppable if he's going off. I think Cooper Davin is right. Amari Cooper is going off. He has over 200 yard receiving or 200 yards from scrimmage in season already. And Michael Gallup is actually a threat, man. Michael Gallup is putting up numbers too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Gallup has – I think he's averaging like about 17 yards per catch or something like that. So Cooper is not the only guy you should be scared of in the wide receiver class, in the Dallas wide receiver group. So
there's another thing to think about too with the Cowboys next week. You know, their next game is against the Eagles, so they might be peeking ahead a little bit.
I hope so.
And overlooking us a little bit. So that's another thing to think about. And I'm telling you, but then again, they also have to, I think they have a lot to prove, the Cowboys, to me. They still got a lot to prove because they have not beaten anybody good yet. The two games that they played someone good, they lost. I still can't believe how bad they looked last week against Green Bay. That was, I don't want to say shocking, but it was.
Especially in the first half.
Yeah,
in the first half, they were horrible.
Oh my God. The first three quarters of the game, they were just getting killed. They couldn't do nothing offensively. They couldn't stop the Packers. So, I don't know. I mean, we got a chance, man. We definitely got a chance. We're getting these guys, I think, at the right time. The week big divisional game, you know. So
I just wish our tight end didn't pull a hamstring as he came back. Man,
it's only minor, so we'll see him in 2 weeks. Not as bad as we thought it would be. What's your prediction since Darnold coming back?
I really think we're gonna squeak it out. I really do. I think we're gonna win. I think it's gonna be like a 23-20, 22-20 game, somewhere around there. I really think we're gonna win. I think with Sam Darnold coming back, the defense playing pretty good the last few weeks. You know, it's not really showing because we're getting killed every week, but it could have been a lot worse these last 3 weeks if the defense did not play as good as they have. I really think they're going to win this week. I really do. They're at home. The Cowboys might be peeking ahead next week. They haven't been playing good. I think we got them at the right time. So I think the Jets are going to squeak out a win.
I think in my heart, I want to go with you, man. But I'm watching this wide receiver call. Randall Cobb, Mari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Devin Smith. Our corners haven't been that good. I mean, they've fought. And we don't even know if we're going to have Hairston. If Tremaine Johnson starts, Cooper has been unstoppable, man, basically. I think we're going to be more competitive, but I think we're going to lose. And my prediction is like 28-24.
I'm going with you, Chris. I'm actually going to say the Jets is going to win. I know I predicted 31-6 and I was correct and I was weird as hell. So I'm actually going to go with a 20-17 very close game from beginning to the end. I think Zeke's still going to struggle. It's weird that I'm saying this because last week, if you heard it, I said Baker Mayfield is really struggling and he's definitely struggling as well. And so I think Zeke's still going to struggle. Run defense number five. So it's going to be very hard for Zeke to get out there, especially when you know, hopefully our crowd will get into it. I know it's going to be a lot of Cowboy fans probably there, but I think it's going to be a jam-packed house now that Darnold was back, and we're going to see some different results. We're going with 2017 Jets win. We'll get our first win, and hopefully we'll get on the run. Who knows?
Hairston and Jenkins are both questionable. I don't know if they're playing, but they're both listed as questionable.
That means we'll know by Sunday
yeah.
morning.
Yeah, Sunday morning, 11:30. Yeah.
Those are probably game time. Yeah, I really do. I think they're going to, you know, come out and play well. And I don't know. I just got that feeling because the Cowboys are going to be peeking ahead a little bit to next week. They got that Philly game. And that's a huge game now because there's a three-way tie for first, or two-way tie for first.
I know. Listen. It really hurts me to say what I said, man, but I'm just watching the fact that they've amassed so many yards, man, like 2,700 yards or something like that. No, like to almost 2,300 yards in five games. You know, I think that no team in Cowboy history has amassed that many yards in in the but amount of time.
Look who they played. Just look at.
I know. I know. Keep an eye on that. I understand. I
look at that, Look at that schedule they've had those first 3 weeks, because that's where they did the most damage, right?
Right. You're right. Zach had 400, a couple 400-yard games. Yeah. Cooper had a couple.
Think about what they've done the last 2 weeks. They've scored 10 against New Orleans and then 24 last week. And Green Bay probably, I don't want to say they let them score at the end, but they were probably playing a little more prevent towards the end anyway.
It didn't seem like that to me, man. So, and some of the research I did, man, Cooper was beating coverage. There were a lot of motions that was giving him one-on-ones. He was getting open. Green Bay almost gave that game away, but
watching it, true. I was like, come on, you can't give this game away.
I think it's easy to make fun of the Packers, of the Cowboys, you know, because everybody wants to say, it's America's team and all that, whatever. But that's a real squad, man. I don't want to disrespect them in no way. I think it's going to be a close game. I think we're going to be more competitive.
And they're going to be wearing their blues, too.
Oh, boy.
They hate wearing the blues, so that's a good thing. Hey, think about it. They gave up 34 points last week, and Aaron Rodgers did not throw a touchdown.
Right.
Yeah, because they couldn't stop the run. Right. By the way, I think they were missing one of their DTs, defensive tackles. I think he's going to be back. I think Antoine Woods was out. I think he's going to be back. So, yeah. So that might be one of the reasons why they were suffering.
And I think
Malik Collins was the only guy, and Tristan Hill is the back of the rookie. He probably was struggling a little bit. So if the return of Antoine Woods is probably going to be a little bit more.
And Collins or Smith are one of them is expected to be back on their offensive line for the Cowboys.
Which one?
One of them. They didn't say which one, but they're both listed as questionable, Tyrone Smith and Collins.
Oh, yeah.
But Collins told Todd Archer of ESPN that his knee felt better Friday, but was uncertain whether he could play against the Jets. Smith, who missed Sunday's loss to the Packers, is expected to test his ankle before the game. So that basically. Collins. Game time decisions as well.
Collins is a beast, man. Collins is a beast. Zach Martin is a beast. That offensive line is built like a. Whew. Listen, I like I said, you know, I'm just being a realist, you know.
No, hey,
but that's how I.
If feel. You look at the last few weeks of the Jets, obviously, if you look at every week of the Jets, how can we pick them? But you know what? We're getting our quarterback back, and let's see what happens. You know.
Exactly.
I hear you.
Definitely, we'll see. Let's get into some NFL news real quick. I'm gonna let you go on this one, Chris. Kaepernick agent, he has sent out basically a letter saying that Nick has been working out 5 days a week for the past 3 years. Still, no NFL team is interested. Where do you see along the lines with the rumors?
You know what? It's good that they finally put that out. They probably put that out a year too late or 2 years too late, this letter, because there's so many rumors about Kaepernick was asking for $15 million a season, and there was also rumors that he was offered jobs and he turned it down. So, and this was a good letter to put out there to say, hey, none of this is true. He's never been offered a job. He didn't turn any amount down. He's not looking for a certain amount. Okay. Yeah, and he's been working out 5 days a week. So I've been fighting with people on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm like, this guy deserves at the very least a tryout, because he's better than most of the backups in the league right now. And nobody can disagree with that. I'm sorry. If you want to hate him for what he did, that's fine. That's your opinion. I get it. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying pure talent. The guy went to a Super Bowl. He led his team to back-to-back NFC title games. I mean, come on. The guy's a pretty good quarterback. Obviously now, 3 years out, he's probably not going to be as good. But you know what? He should have been offered tryouts at the very least the last couple of years, and he never was. And it's just frustrating because we're stuck with Luke Falk when we could have at least had Kaepernick. You know, I mean, I'm sure he could have done any worse than what Falk has done.
Yeah, he could have done better. Straight up done better. That goes without saying.
Yeah. Even if he just ran, you know, and ran an option, he probably would have done better for us.
And you know, he threw the ball. He threw the ball very well. It was he didn't yeah. have to run no option.
But
listen, I think one of
he ain't gonna get signed.
One of the I just want to back you up a little bit. I had some misconceptions about things that reading this letter cleared up for me, because the meetings I thought that were tryouts basically were just meetings. The one with Pete Carroll, apparently when they called him in just for a meeting, just to ask him to come in and look into their eyes, which is what? Look into your eyes? What does that mean? You know, I don't think anybody really wanted to give him a shot, man. They really wanted, what they really wanted to do was see if he was willing to give up his, you know, his stance. And if he wasn't willing, they weren't going to hire him anyway. He chose the stance. Unfortunately, when you choose these kinds of stances, you know what's going to happen, what comes with it. Unfortunately, but, it's sad, you know, that's what happens, but that's happens.
I find it odd that Eric Reed got the job, that he's had a job.
Well, Eric Reed, listen, unless you're a diehard football guy, you wouldn't know who the hell Eric Reed is. Unfortunately, Colin Kaepernick's name is tied up in this. We say the Kaepernick name, and then you just get looks. Like, just walk through the street and shout Kaepernick. See how many people be looking at you like, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know? So you know, Reed is somebody that is of no, you know, is not of no consequence to the whole thing, because nobody really knows him. Kaepernick is the one that's going to pay the deal. He's the one that carries the whole thing on his back. I, to tell you the truth, yes, it really clears up a lot for me, you know, because I think there's been a lot of misleading information, even by people that are supposed to be well-informed people. Actually, when you read this letter, some of the things you heard people say on national television news or on sports news, you know, you straight up was like, dude, you lying, or you didn't tell the whole story, you know. So because Kaepernick never got a tryout.
Right.
The teams that saw him, they just sat with him. They did not try him out at all. So, meaning they weren't even trying to sign him in any way. They were trying to get him off of his stance. If you get off your stance, then we'll probably give you a job. But this is what it was, you know. So,
yeah, he can't. I don't think he can back down now.
No, he can't. Oh, hell no, he can't. He'd be destroyed.
Right. So that's
you think
why
he's destroyed now?
Yeah. So
I think it's good that you know, he still got the Nike endorsements, and you know, he still got people backing him up regardless. He definitely deserves a job regardless, you know. Maybe Vince McMahon and the XFL could look at him. I don't know, but hopefully something will work out for him, you know.
I don't get it. You know, like he has an opinion. Whether you agree with him or not, or you think he's wrong, disrespectful, whatever. That's fine. I'm not going to disagree there. But he's being blackballed because he has an opinion, right? You got these other guys who have gotten chance after chance after chance, and it's okay for them, and they do much worse things. Beat their wife, whatever. We could go down the list of all these guys that have gotten second and third chances. It just makes no sense to me. That part it makes no sense. Why is the NFL doing this?
I will paint that picture. I will make you understand with just one sentence. I make you understand. At any point in any time that you wear that color of skin, or even if you're half of it, and you fight for any reason, and you bother people that don't want to be bothered because you're supposed to stay in your corner and they're supposed to stay in theirs. At the end of the day, this is what's gonna happen to you. You know, unfortunately, it's the truth. You know, you're not supposed to shout, you're not supposed to make a noise, you're not supposed to, you know, you're just supposed to be stay in your quiet corner and stay in your lane. You know, anytime you make too much of a problem, that's just how it is. It's the truth of the situation. That's how it is. Right, Devin?
I just wish the NFL would put their foot down on, if they're going to put their foot down on this guy, put it down on the other guys too. You know, Antonio Brown, guarantee he'll be back in the league next year. Maybe even sooner, but he'll be back in the league next year, right? Tariq Hill, whatever he did.
Not going to get all that money, but yeah, he'll be back.
No, right. But he'll get his money eventually, I bet you. And Tyreek Hill, he'll be
talent. Yep.
He's coming back too. If it's not this week, it'll be next week he'll be back.
Yeah. Tariq, so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, man. Put your foot down. If you're going to put your foot down on him, put it down on the rest. Then I'd be like, okay, then I'm fine. I would feel a lot better if that happened.
Well, when that happens, we'll get a nice snowstorm at 4, get a nice right. snowstorm. So yeah, we'll see when that day comes. But let's get a quick take on Richard Sherman saying that Baker Mayfield didn't shake his hand, and then the film came out and he shook his hand, and now
that
he's
was
talking about
joke.
He want to apologize.
That was so bad.
Chris,
I don't even know. I mean, I see it. I'm like, what is he?
Hey. Richard Sherman is an asshole.
He is. That's pretty simple. I mean, they're just, I don't know. The one thing I liked about that game was what's his name getting revenge, Boza.
Yes.
Oh, that, yeah. I did like, even though
awesome,
I'm not an Oklahoma fan.
Ohio State.
Definitely not Ohio State. But yeah. I really loved what he did there. He got his revenge for his school. That was great.
Baker Mayfield did. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Browns got some serious issues, man. That's definitely – they were a story before the season, and now they're a story for the complete opposite. So
it's not like we didn't talk about this before the season even started.
No. We said we did it.
And a lot of these media and so-called NFL experts, they going to be this, they going to be that, and now look at them. And then and they're going against Seattle this Sunday.
Teams are basically taking Odell Beckham out of football, out of the games. They're taking him out of the games, giving him absolutely no shot to catch balls. They're double-teaming him. They're hitting him off the line of scrimmage. They're doing everything. And with the Browns, all they're getting is those throws to the other kid. What's his name?
Landry.
Yeah, to Landry. And Landry's eating. He's catching balls the left, right, and center. Yeah. But you can't get the ball to Odell. I mean, you could get the ball to him here and there, but their teams are not letting the Browns get the ball to Odell.
Which is fine, but...
The last two games, he had only four catches for 47 yards. That's how Beckham.
You're supposed to be an elite wide receiver. You can't be, you know, you can't. I mean, I know it's a new offense to him, you know, and stuff like that. And we've also pointed out the fact that, listen, you're giving a job to a guy that has to coach a whole team, and he has to concentrate on being an offensive coordinator also. It's an uphill climb, you know. They might be struggling right now because it's a hard job for him to juggle, you know, these two positions. You know, maybe in a year's time, maybe next year he's gonna catch fire if they give him that time, you know. But right now, man, they struggling everywhere.
Well, you know what, they got to figure out. You know what, don't try to give it to Beckham. Give it to everybody else. They got good players on that team. You know what I mean? They got a lot of talent. They could spread the ball around. So, and right now, Beckham, he is leading the team in receptions. He's got 23. Landry has 22. But Landry does have more yardage than him.
Two catches for only 20 yards. That's not doing nothing for the Browns.
Think about it. You take away that 89-yard pass against us. And he'd
have a good game.
Right. And not just a good game, but then he would have 22 catches for about 250.
Exactly.
That's pretty bad.
Good.
For a guy who's supposed to be the elite, one of the elite receivers in the league.
Yeah.
And that's not good, you know. But Nick Chubb he's having a pretty good year. You know what? Feed him the rock.
I think at the end of the day, I think probably that's the adjustment they need to make. I think make the offense more of a run first offense.
Yeah. Play action.
Probably. Yeah.
Work it off of that. That's all.
But the other problem they're having is Baker Mayfield, unfortunately, it looks like he can't get off his first read.
Mm.
That's not good. I mean, everybody's like, you're the sophomore slump. Fine. I mean, I haven't been watching quarterbacks so closely for years to kind of tell, you know, what actually starts going when you're slumping. But the fact that you can't see, the field starts getting dimmer and dimmer after your first read is kind of weird to me. You know, he's running out of the pocket even when he has a good pocket. Makes no sense to me. And that's probably one of the reasons why Odell is suffering too, is the fact that sometimes Odell gets open a little later and unfortunately, you know, he ran out of the pocket. The quarterback has run out of the pocket. So, they have multiple issues, man. That offensive line is a sieve. You know, there's a lot of things going wrong with them right now.
I'm agree with that. Let's get a quick take. Another quick take on Jalen Ramsey. He has spoke with the owner, and it's a possibility he might play on Sunday. Do y'all think he's going to play?
I think if he's healthy, he'll play. I think he still had that back issue.
Correct.
So, but I think once he's healthy, he's going to play. I think the owner told him something. The owner
I'm
loves
pay
him.
You money.
Yeah. Yeah, the owner loves him anyway. So I've been saying that, you know, from the beginning that they said he loves him, and I don't know if it's the money. It's just money. Maybe he just doesn't want to be there, you know. So maybe the owner said, "Listen, you know, just keep your mouth shut. We can't trade you now. We're not going to get good value for you. Play the season, have a good season the rest of the year, and then I promise to trade you during the off season." Maybe he told him that.
I've said it before, and it's a prevailing narrative around that a lot of the defensive players think it's horrible that they have some offensive players that got paid. And one of the reasons why Jacksonville has been performing so well in the last couple of years is defense, and some of those defensive guys haven't been paid. You know, that's my thing. You know,
I think either way, Ramsey's still going to get paid. So regardless,
yeah.
I think what he just needs to do is just play it out, and you know, just see what happens as time move along.
He does have one more year left, though, right, on his contract?
Yes, after this year, correct?
Yeah. Read Ian Rappaport report said it would be a major surprise if he played this week.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, he's still questionable with his back, so. Yeah. He was supposed to go see a specialist this week, I think, as well. So we'll see about that. I'm sure he'll be back next week.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing too. Let's get into this interesting topic of the interference challenge. Basically, it was only one out of 21 was successful. One. That means 20 out of 21 was a failed challenge. Do you think that the NFL referees are doing it on purpose so they won't have to use it no more? Or do y'all think it's just, I don't know. Or do y'all think it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Listen, I could, you know what? I'll explain it this way. I think they put this in just to placate the Saints fans. And
not only the Saints fans, but yeah.
It was mostly them because of what happened last year. So they did this. Now they're going
to listen to Chris, man.
Now they're going to overturn like 1% of all the calls for the year. And they're going to say, see?
No.
Yeah,
see,
exactly.
We couldn't do anything. We couldn't help.
There's nothing we could do. We tried. So you know what? We're not going to use it again. It's so stupid.
Man.
It really is. So dumb. We said it from the beginning. This was not a good thing, right? We all said it.
Yeah.
I know I was big on it, not doing it. It was dumb, and I don't know. Like that's what I think is gonna happen.
Hey, you covered it all, bro. I seriously, this whole thing is a clown show anyway.
Yeah.
It's a clown car with a clown show in it. This is not gonna go anywhere. This is not even worth discussing. If you love football, you know this is crap. This is just holding up the real game, you know. So that's it for me, man. I'm out on that.
This league needs a new commissioner, man. That's what we need.
Hey, this is not gonna last long anyway. So I think it's just the one and done.
In your eyes, Chris, but he's making too much money for the owners, man. He ain't going nowhere.
Oh, I know.
Definitely not. Yeah. Before we go into the predictions of the game, did y'all watch the game last night with the Patriots and the Giants?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched some of it. I watched it long enough to realize to see that Tom Brady was having a bad night. But other than that, I didn't watch the whole game.
Yeah, apparently they won with their defense and special teams, which is weird to me. So I think
Josh Gordon got injured on a play where these things that some offensive coordinators do, like try to block defensive ends with tight ends. Yeah, they need to get out. Yeah, you cause a lot of problems with this stuff, man. You just, on the backside of a play, you have a tight end blocking a defensive end. Okay, good luck. That's what caused the strip sack and the fumble, and then Gordon ended up getting hurt off of that. So
I think the Giants gave him a little battle
in the second quarter. The second quarter was real interesting.
It was a close game until late in the third quarter.
I just think the Giants had too many mistakes on the offense and, you know, on the special team side.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones is showing, you know, that he's still a rookie.
We need to really give a shout out to their front office for really putting together that offensive line, because that offensive line is balling. One of the reasons why Daniel Jones has been playing so well is because he's had time to throw the ball, you know. So, they're definitely playing well, and some of those defensive players, like that one of their defensive tackles, Lawrence, had a hell of a game. They play hard. It looks like it's a team that play hard. I could give them at least.
I forgot about our player of the week. So who y'all got for week 5 player of the week?
Chris, you go.
I go. Let's see. I'm gonna go with. You know what? I think we gotta start. We gotta start looking at these guys, but the 49ers, man. Got to give Jimmy Garoppolo some love, man. Still undefeated. They're playing the Rams this week. They're going to L.A. Let's see if the Rams can bounce back. Let's see what the 49ers are really about, man. Can they win a road division game? This will be big for them. But I'm going to give it to Garoppolo and just that whole team, man. They're just playing a good, solid team, a solid game overall. You know, he's not putting up huge numbers.
He's still kind of struggling. That coach, man, one of my favorite play callers in the whole league. That dude is a beast, man.
They almost had 200-yard rushes last week.
The kind Coleman of run
had 97. Yeah. Breida had 114. Garoppolo didn't have a great game. He only threw 481, 2 touchdowns. So not a great game, but you know what? They totally manhandled Cleveland. Yeah. So
the kind of play designs and stuff that he comes up with, man, he's Kyle Shanahan is on that level, on the level of Andy Reid and Sean Payton. That's the kind of play caller he is. But I think if you're talking about, man, you cannot go without either speaking about. I want to talk about the Texans offense. You know, for me, it's either Deshaun Watson or Will Fuller. Last week, man.
Oh yeah,
crazy. Yeah. Will Fuller with the 3 touchdowns. You know, so these 2 guys were my players of the week.
Yeah, Fuller had a huge 14 for 217, 3 touchdowns.
Week. Yep.
Yeah, that's huge, man.
I tried to leave it short and sweet, but it's so many. My number one will be Josh Jacobs of the Oakland Raiders. How the hell did they beat the Chicago Bears? Like, it's weird to me. And Chris actually was on point with the Raiders, but the Raiders pick.
Raiders might be for real. They might be a decent team this year. And you got to remember, the Bears had Chase Daniel.
Hold your tongue, son.
No, but you got to remember, too, the Bears had their backup quarterback in. Yeah. Right? They were playing a It wasn't London a home.
Game. Was it a London game?
Yeah. Yeah, so nobody had a home field.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. 26 carries, 123 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns for the kid. Yeah. He did a real good job against a Chicago defense.
They could not stop him. That's the problem. The defense didn't come to play. That's the problem. I think before we go, I think we need to honorable mention, man, run CMC, Christian McCaffrey. Check out those numbers.
Yeah, he's
help. Whew. Oh man.
Yeah, that guy's having a huge.
Right.
Oh my god. Yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now. Yeah.
Still got 3 more. So my second one was Aaron Jones of the Packers, 4 touchdown rushes, 19 carries, 107 rushing yards, but also he had 7 receiving catches for 75 yards. So Aaron Jones, shout out to you because, you know, without you, I don't know what Aaron Rodgers would have done because Aaron Rodgers had a subpar game. He had a subpar game. So that shout out to you. And then what I liked it was the Buccaneers versus the Saints game. That was a very good and a very close game. Shout out to Bridgewater. Shout out to Winston. But it was the wide receivers. The wide receiver battle was freaking amazing. Michael Thomas, 11 catches, 182 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. And then you got the kid again, Godwin, 7 catches, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hell of a battle for them two. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all because I said it was going to be a close game, and that was a very close game. And Teddy Bridgewater is balling. He had 4 touchdown passes. So shout out to you too, Bridgewater.
Yeah. There you go.
So, a lot of credit, man.
Too much credit. Let's get into our week 6 predictions, and then we'll get up out of here. Panthers against the Buccaneers.
That's a London game too, guys.
Yeah. That's like they're going into the Twilight Zone, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they're both coming in pretty good, too. You know what? I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. Tight game, but I'll go with Tampa.
Carolina.
I'll go with Tampa Bay on this one. So I don't know. That kid Godwin, Mike Evans had a real good season so far, but the kid Godwin is it's truly amazing. So I'm gonna say tight game, Tampa Bay. Seattle against Cleveland.
You gotta go Seattle, man. Cleveland's just a mess right now.
Seattle.
Baker Mayfield's still gonna struggle. Like it's just so crazy how last season Baker Mayfield turned into this I'm not gonna say a rookie god. His second season looking like a subpar, like not even like a subpar quarterback. Like I don't know.
He's still a young quarterback. You got to remember that.
Of course,
he's only been in the league for a little over a year now. But you know, not even right.
Right, but you know, with bringing in Beckham and the way how he performed with just Landry and you know and all this talent. And Kareem Hunt should be coming back soon too. So they're gonna have a nice backup running back. I don't know. Like they got so much stuff to figure out, especially
Baker Mayfield. They're almost like they're like toeing the line of they could blow up in a bad way or blow up in a really good way. Oh, you know, they're on that. Yeah. I always feel like every week they're like they're either gonna blow up and be a mess or they're gonna blow up and go on a hot streak and win. You know, 3-4 straight.
I said that. That's why I think I'm projecting them to be better next year because I think a lot of the things they have is just time. It'll take time for them to gel. It'll take time for their coach to kind of navigate being a coach and a play caller and all that other stuff. I think all that stuff needs to take time. It's going to take time for Baker Mayfield to understand his new offense and to understand his new players. You know, and stuff like that. So for me, I think it was just everybody trying to crown.
No, I'm just saying, good question, right? If they keep struggling, he may not make the year.
Well, this is the problem. You know, people always want stuff to happen now, and it never happens now. Bill Belichick on his first year as a coach was crap.
Well, they didn't. they didn't make that trade for Beckham. So they could be good in the next 2 years. They want to be good now.
Yeah, I agree.
Game of the week: Houston Texans versus Kansas City.
Houston, should Texans, be a good one, man. Kansas City.
I like KC, man. Mm. Should be a good.
Battle of the two young quarterbacks.
Mm.
Should be a good old shootout too. It should be a nice high scoring game.
Should. But right, Patrick, but the last 2 weeks, Patrick 40. Mahomes has been struggling with his touchdown passes. So,
if he's not injured, it's KC.
Yep.
Yeah. Nah. I don't know.
At home too.
I mean, it's at home, but Deshaun Watson's been very hot, and he's trying to make a point. I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna go with the Houston. I don't know. I think Deshaun Watson's really trying to make a point here, and so I'm gonna go with Houston. I'm really setting hopes high for him.
If you don't agree with you,
shout out to the Colts for that. Yeah, shout out to the Colts on the win against the Chiefs last week.
Yes, definitely. That's the ball. They balled.
Yeah, so I think the Texans gonna pull it off. We got the Tank Bowl. Yes, the Tank Bowl. The Redskins against the Dolphins. Lord Jesus.
Tank.
Like, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Both the teams tanking.
Tank for Tua.
You know what? I'm going to take the Skins in this game. New head coach. I don't know. Dolphins have looked so bad. Skins too, but at least the Skins have scored points. So I'm going to go Washington in this game.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I can't believe I just said that.
It's going to be a tie. Watch.
It's
going
to be a
10.
Tie.
10-10. I'm going with the Redskins. Apparently, Case Keenum's supposed to be the starter, so yeah. I'd rather go with him over Josh Rosen. I'm going to say Redskins. I'll say Redskins. It'll be a close game, though.
Should be.
Surprisingly. Got the Eagles against the Vikings.
That's another good one, man. Philly's hot. Coming in on the road, though, against Minnesota. Again, what we were talking about with Dallas, they might be peeking ahead to their Dallas game next week. I'm going to still take Philly. Tight game, but I'll take Philly.
I'll take your excuse, and I'll take Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to take Philly. Yo, Kirk Cousins.
Davin never takes Minnesota, so we know that.
Yeah, actually, I did pick Minnesota.
Pick them one time, yes.
Did they play against the Vikings? A couple weeks ago. Raiders?
Yes. Yeah. Not the Raiders. I can't remember who it was.
I don't know what team it was, but I'll get back to that. But, yeah, I picked them one time. But, yeah, I got Philly winning. Kirk Cousins. Oh, Jesus. Oh Lord, that's all I'm gonna say. Oh God,
oh, man.
Saints against the Jaguars.
Wow, that's Saints. Another good one, man. A lot of good games this week.
Yeah. Yes,
you know what? Jacksonville at home. I'm gonna take them.
Minshew?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Minshew.
I'm gonna take the Saints. Minshew and Teddy Bridgewater's high.
Minshew and the Jorts. Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mustache Minshew and the Jorts.
Yeah, what makes this so interesting is the longest the Saints went, Drew Brees can rest up, even though you don't want to rest him that long, but still, he can rest and they don't have to rush him back.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So yeah, I'm going to choose the Saints to win again, shockingly.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Saints too.
We got the Bengals against the Ravens.
Ooh. Ravens. Definitely,
you can't even believe in the damn Red Rifle, so yeah, you gotta go with Lamar Jackson. You can't believe in a Red Rifle, Lord Jesus.
He's not the only problem on that team, trust me when I tell you.
Oh, we think we got problems with the O line, their O line is a mess,
terrible.
Yeah,
the 49ers at against the Rams.
San Fran's are playing good too.
I'm going with
the
49ers. Gurley got the thigh contusion injury.
Yeah, he's out.
He's ready. Yeah, so yeah, I'm going with 49ers. It's I don't know. I don't know. Unless the Rams get some type of running game going.
And you know what? Goff has not been that good this year either. So, not that he was. Yeah, he's been. Nothing great. So I'm gonna try.
Because of Todd Gurley, when you don't bring Todd Gurley towards that offense, you see him throwing 60 passes, 40 passes. Like he just
you don't want that.
Yeah, he just
all what you guys are saying is true. You guys are awesome for saying all this stuff, but for some reason, I'm feeling that I'm hearing whispers from the other side that the Rams will win this game.
Oh, boy. The other side.
I don't know. You can what's hear the whispers, but
what's the lottery numbers next tomorrow?
Yeah, they didn't tell me that one.
Oh, they didn't tell you. Okay.
One out of a million. Ridiculous. Yeah, but I just think as long as Goff keep throwing 40 to 50 times a game, they not going to go nowhere. They need that running game. So, yeah, I'm going with the 49ers. Okay. Good game, though. Very good.
Yeah, it should be.
Falcons game. Falcons against the Cardinals.
I don't know.
I'm gonna pick Kyler Murray, man. I don't know. I'm gonna pick Kyler. I don't know
what's going on with the Falcons. I don't know why they're slumping or I don't know.
I'm gonna take Atlanta. They gotta win a game here. I know they got one win, too. They gotta pull one out. So I'll say this week they'll pull it out.
I will side with Chris this time.
Their coach is on the hot seat now, so
Apparently the Falcons need to just be in rebuild mode if they lose against the Cardinals, and I feel like that's gonna happen very soon. I don't know, but we'll see. Tennessee Titans against the Broncos.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Denver at home. I don't know
why. Titans.
I'm gonna go with the Titans, and if the Titans lose, then they're gonna put Tannehill as a starter.
Then you know
you can't get no worse than what it is.
You know things are bad when Tannehill is your quarterback.
I'd rather have Tannehill
when he's like your savior. Mariota.
When he's supposed to be your savior, yeah. If Tannehill's supposed to be his savior, things are really bad.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
We got Sunday night game is Steelers against the Chargers.
Gotta be Chargers, man. Steelers is starting their third string quarterback.
I don't know. The Chargers been struggling, I can't put a foot on why. I'm actually gonna go with Mason Rudolph pulling off a victory.
No, he's not in. He's not in.
He's not.
Not in. Remember?
I forgot. Who's
that's why. Friend?
Some guy named Hodges.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna be confident in Hodges.
Oh yeah, I used to watch his games at Samford, not Stanford. Samford. You know, like Samford and Son.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Listen, man. Yeah.
If you know anything Chargers. About him, please let us know.
Chargers.
Hey, if the Steelers pull off this game, there's something. Then they need to be calling Chargers. Derwin James. I don't know.
Poor guy.
It's terrible. Actually, a good Monday night game. Detroit against the Packers.
Yeah, we'll see. Wow. We've been talking up Detroit, especially Sharman's been talking up Detroit.
Their defense.
So now we're going to see them. We're going to see them up front and personal here. Prime time.
I'm definitely going to be watching that game. It's going to be very close.
And to back up my talk, I'm going to go Detroit.
Okay.
Nice. I'm going to go with Packers. Very close game. 3-point game at least.
Yeah.
Keep my weird picks. All those picks today is all weird picks. Keep my weird picks next week so y'all could confront me about my.
I definitely will.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna take Green Bay. You guys are going Detroit. I'll go Green Bay at home.
I didn't pick Detroit. I picked Green Bay.
You did pick Green Bay? Okay. I'm sorry.
No, you know me. I'm the only one that picked Green Bay to beat the damn Cowboys last week.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
It's something. I don't know what it is about the Packers. It's something about the Packers playing in Dallas. They always capitalize. That's true. And if y'all remember, y'all remember that fucking hell of a pass play to who was it? Randall Cobb? Was it Cobb or was it somebody else that playoff game before they played the Falcons in the
NFC
Championship game when Rodgers threw the hell out that ball on the sideline.
Yep.
I think it was Cobb.
That was crazy, that play.
Yes.
That man and Rodgers was something else.
it was just the opposite though in the 90s when the Cowboys were really good and the Packers were really good with Favre.
Green Bay
could not beat Dallas in Dallas for nothing. And they played them like 3 straight years in the playoffs, and they got knocked out every year.
Hmm.
Times definitely changed. Like, so it's so weird that, you know, the NFL is on a week by week basis.
Oh, it is, absolutely.
We could sit here and say this team will win, but then the other team will start smashing. Like, we didn't expect the Broncos to smash the Chargers last week. It was ridiculous.
Like with the Colts, right? The Colts lost to the Raiders at home. And then they come back and beat Kansas City at Kansas City. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Because I think what's not making sense is the fact that I think in due time we need to give a little respect to the Raiders. I think that's something we didn't see coming, that they're a really good team.
Yeah, they're not bad.
They've been playing solid everywhere. Yeah, they haven't. You don't see them make horrible mistakes. They play very solid football. So yeah,
Antonio Brown's loss too. Because if Antonio Brown would have played, they would have been a hell of. I think they would have been a hell of a lot better on that.
I'm not gonna totally, jump on his bandwagon. But I think Chucky needs a pat on the back for the way his team has been playing lately.
Well, apparently Chucky is a veteran at this, so he knows a lot. You know, he knows a lot more than what we know. Shit, to pull off
that is true.
Something like
very
this.
True. Very true.
Yep.
Hey, all right. Well, so that's it for our podcast. Make sure y'all follow us on Twitter, Jets Fans Podcast, Instagram, NY Jets Fans Podcast. Make sure you send us a feedback. What you like, what you don't like, and everything else like that on Twitter or on the Apple Podcast. So until next time, take your flight. We got it.
Take flight, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.